Okay, so I assume that everything has been sorted out with Bianca and everything. Everybody got clear instructions about everything. Everybody know what's going on. We got a nice room, you know, the schedule, all these kind of things. Everything is okay? Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay, good. Bianca is usually very efficient, one of the kind of key people at the retreat center here, so that's great. Is it too higher up? Okay. Oh, that's really powerful, isn't it? Maybe I should just hold it instead. Okay. Okay, so just for starters, just very briefly, have you all got the schedule for the retreat? Everybody has that one? Okay. So the idea with these schedules is to give you a rough guidance so you have a kind of structure for your day. The idea is not to have some kind of, you know, oh, you have to do it this way at all. The idea is just to have some kind of regulation for yourself to be able to use your day in a good way. You don't have to follow this at all. Everything is voluntary. The talks are voluntary. Everything is really up to you whether you want to come or not. Ajahn Brahm always says only two compulsory things on this list, and those two things is breakfast and lunch. Everything else is voluntary on this list. So this is Ajahn Brahm, right? It's always compassion goes first. So please just use this as you like, and come and go whenever you want. The only thing is to be a little bit sensitive to the other people who are doing meditation here, obviously. So when you come and go, do it kind of carefully. And probably best to come and go on the times that I mentioned here. So usually on the hour is usually a good time to come and depart. So that is the schedule. And then we have the suttas. There's a large number of pages here. Have you all got the suttas? Yeah? Everybody okay with that? Okay, great. So the idea is it has been given the name the Happy Sutta Retreat by Verne. So this is it's a good name, but really it's like the idea is to have a meditation and sutta retreat. So the idea is to use the word of the Buddha. The suttas obviously are the word of the Buddha. To use the word of the Buddha to guide us in our meditation practice, and to inspire us as well in the same kind of practice. And it's very interesting, of course, because the vast majority of people around the world, they have a teacher, this teacher or that teacher. And there's very few people who say, the Buddha is my teacher. So it's very interesting when you start reading the suttas, because the suttas are very profound, but they're also very broad, they're very comprehensive. They are detailed in a certain way, not detailed in another way. There's a lot of very interesting information in there that you will never get from most contemporary teacher or any other teacher for that matter. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see what the Buddha has to say. The Buddha is the originator, right? He's the starter. He started this whole thing here. Yeah. So presumably he has something interesting to say here. Yeah. Otherwise he wouldn't have bothered starting it, right? So he must have started for a reason. So we can assume that he has something very profound and interesting to say here. Yeah. So the idea then is to kind of try to marry meditation practice with reading the suttas. Not so much for intellectual nourishment, but more, a little bit of intellectual nourishment, but mostly to nourish, if you like, the heart, so that you get inspired and you understand what you're supposed to be doing. This is the main purpose of this. Now, the theme of the retreat this year is going to be on dependent origination. And I try to do a slightly different theme every year, just to vary things a little bit. Of course, a lot of the suttas will be the same, because a lot of the suttas are, there are certain suttas that are core suttas for understanding the practice, how to develop the mind. So those suttas I teach every year. But this year I'm going to talk a little bit about dependent origination, just to give it a slightly different flavor. The idea, again, is not to have some kind of very intellectual retreat where we think about dependent origination in a very kind of analytical way or whatever. Rather, the idea is to look at dependent origination in a practical way. What does it mean in our practice? This is really the idea behind this. So that it's not, doesn't become too kind of, you know, distracting. If it's too intellectual, it actually becomes distracting for the meditation, because you go around thinking too much about these things. The idea is to have just enough to inspire you, to get you going, so you feel, whoa, okay, now I can practice properly here. that is the suttas, and I'm going to start with those tomorrow morning. Tonight, all I'm going to do is just to give some basic instructions on meditation, just to have kind of the groundwork in place. And then every day there will be a guided meditation at 7:30, I think it is, at 7:30. And the idea is to just to repeat the instructions, the basic instructions through the guided meditation. That's the idea. So that will be, so you get a little bit of instructions every day on meditation practice, and then the suttas will be, in a sense, on top of that. So the main idea, the main thing when it comes to a retreat like this, it's going to be for 9 days, is quite a while. And the most important thing to always remember is to, you should always be inclining towards a sense of well-being, a sense of happiness while you're here. This is one of the most important things. And if you just remember that much, that the idea of a meditation retreat is not to kind of torture yourself or to do a certain discipline or to follow a certain schedule, all of that is secondary here. The main purpose of all Buddhist practice is to move towards a state of greater happiness, greater contentment, greater ease, greater all these positive qualities and feelings that we're supposed to develop on the path. And if you remember that much, it means you have a very good guide for what to do during these 9 days. Because if you remember that much, you can always adjust things. If you start to feel a little bit too tense, or you start to feel, you get a bit angry or upset or whatever it is, all these things arise every now and again. That's just the way things have to be. But generally speaking, you have something to guide you whether you are doing the right thing or not. So remember that. You're supposed to be relaxed, at ease, enjoying yourself, even having a sense of joy, right, arising in the meditation practice. If all of these things come, you know you are on the right track. You're heading in the right direction. And one of the most basic things to remember with the meditation practice is to make sure always when you start out, this is very basic, but it's also very important, and that is that you shouldn't really have too much pain in the body. This is the first thing. You should be at ease. You should feel relaxed in the body. This is so important. And this, of course, has to do with the Buddhist idea of the middle way. The middle way in Buddhism is the idea you don't indulge the body on the one hand. And it's quite hard to indulge the body in a retreat center like this because what can you do? Can maybe lie, sleep a little bit too long or something like that? That's about it, right? So the indulging is not really a problem. Indulging side, you don't have to worry too much about. But it is the other side which is much more problematic. So keep that in mind. Don't make sure that you are comfortable, you are at ease in the body. This is so important. Don't torture yourself in any way. I think it's one of those natural inclinations often among human beings that we think that a little bit of torture is good. Because if we're going to practice the spiritual life, right, the body is where we have all these kind of desires and things. So you have to kind of get the body out of the way. So a little bit of torture to kind of counteract all those sensual pleasures is a good thing. But no, that is not a good thing at all, because the idea is not that torturing the body doesn't counteract the pleasures, the sensual pleasures. What the torturing of the body does, rather, it enhances, it increases the presence and the perception of the body. You feel the body more, you're more aware of the body, you can't let go of it if you have too much pain. Right? Or even if you have a little bit of pain, the mind goes to the pain, the mind focuses on the pain and is not able to let go of that. So if you want to find this middle way, which is, of course, the Majjhima Patipada, this famous teaching of the Buddha. It is this middle way between indulging on the one hand and mortifying yourself or having pain or torturing yourself on the other. And the middle way is precisely where the body tends to disappear. When you get no happiness through the body, when you have no torture in the body, no pains in the body starts to become irrelevant. And it's when the body starts to become irrelevant, that's when it disappears. So it is worthwhile taking this quite seriously, this idea of the disappearing of the body. This is an important thing here. And to put in, if you like, a lot of effort to make sure that you find that middle way is very important and very useful. And to do whatever it takes to find that. And you have here, we have, for example, a large number of chairs here. So please use those chairs. Only sit on the floor if you're really at ease and relaxed with that. Or you can vary a little bit. Every now and again you sit on the floor, then you sit on a chair. You can even do things like lying down. Meditation is also possible. I'm not sure how easy maybe don't do it right in front of me here, but otherwise you can maybe do it in the halls on the side, or you can certainly do it at the back in your room or whatever, or maybe even at the back of the hall here is fine. And because even lying down, right, if your mind is clear and you have a sense of mindfulness there, you find that lying down, you become so relaxed, so at ease, no pains in the body. And actually, from that, meditation can take off. Just to give a bit of encouragement, one of the great forest monks of Thailand, he has been at this monastery before, and he was asked, how does he meditate? Oh, he said, I just lie down. I don't fall asleep. No, I don't fall asleep because I don't do anything, and falling asleep would be doing something. So he just lies down, right? And he says, oh, when you lie down, you're so relaxed. You're so at ease. It's actually a good posture for meditation practice. So you can try that as well and see if that works out for you. But the most important thing is to be comfortable. So change your posture if you feel any pain. Don't force yourself too much in sitting in a certain way. Go sit on a chair, then come down on the floor again. Go for a walk in the forest if you feel that things aren't going right. Whatever it takes, basically, to be comfortable. This is so important. And then, when you finish this retreat, you will say, hooray, it was nice. I enjoyed the retreat. Instead of saying, oh, what a terrible experience. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. And this sometimes happens. People go on retreat after 9 days. They're, hooray, it's all over. Oh, finally, I can get out of here. What a terrible thing. Right? Please don't do that. Because what you're doing is that you are destroying an enormous potential that the spiritual path has to take you a long way towards more happiness, contentment, away from problems and suffering in life. You're destroying that whole potential by actually doing things in the wrong way. When you come to the end of the retreat, ideally you think, oh no, it's the end already. Can I please stay on a few more days, weeks, months, right? That is when or can I ordain maybe even, right? At the end of the retreat, that's when you know you got it right. So when you do this in the right way, then you will hopefully enjoy what is happening here. So this is the first one. So once you have that ease in the body, you don't have too much pain. In fact, the body starts to fade away. The next thing to do is to look at any kind of tension you may have, right? This is almost like just a continuation of the same sliding scale, if you like. We're looking at the pain, and the next thing is any kind of discomfort apart from pain that you may have in the body. And again, it's very useful to spend time to get rid of any discomfort you may have. And of course, one of the things that is happening here is that when the reason why the body is tense, or the body is restless, or the body isn't quite right, the reason is because of the mind. The mind is what controls the body. So the problem is not so much the body. The problem actually comes from the mind. But sometimes it can be very hard, right? Okay, you tell yourself, let go, mind, right? Relax, take it easy. And sometimes it can be quite difficult to do that. So sometimes it can be helpful just to focus on the body, to make sure the body is relaxed. And by relaxing the body, you get into the right attitude. And you start, the mind also starts to relax as a consequence. So spend time on that, and you will find that with, as time goes by, as you get away from your stressful daily, I'm sure everyone here has too much stress. Everybody has too much stress in the world, right? That's just the way it is. Get kind of gradually away from the stress of ordinary life, and you settle into the retreat. After a while, you start to feel more at ease, more relaxed. Make sure you don't tense up. If you find that in your meditation you tense up, that is one of the clear signs that you're not heading in the right direction and you need to do something else. Sit in a different posture, have a cup of tea, whatever it is, just to relax again. This is so important. So spend the time doing that, and if you are able just to relax the body and to feel at ease and to enjoy yourself, already you are doing really, really well. And if you can do that much, I guarantee you, at the end of the retreat, you will not say, oh, this was the worst experience of my life. You will actually feel that you achieved something. At the very least, you relaxed and you had more relaxation than you have in ordinary life. So this is like the first benefit, if you like, of meditation practice. So I will talk about this during the guided meditations as well, how to relax and how to find that ease. The most important thing to do that is to have the right attitude. Give yourself the time to settle down and then to have the right attitude on top of that. Then it tends to come together as a consequence. So what happens then? What happens when you are relaxing and at ease? What goes beyond that? What happens next? What happens next is that when you feel really relaxed, right? Many things can happen. One thing that happens is you start thinking about things, right? You feel really at ease. The body is nice, but the fantasizing starts happening, right? You're thinking about the past, thinking about the future, thinking about any kind of random fantasies, right? All kind of stuff. You know what the mind is like? It creates all these worlds sometimes for us. So this is the first thing that happens. Another thing that happens when you start to, when you become really relaxed, is that you fall asleep, right? Is that going to happen? I'm sure it's going to happen to some of the people here. They're going to fall asleep, guaranteed. Some people are going to fall asleep. If you fall asleep, great, you know, go for it. Snore, relax, sit back. I always, when anybody snores in the assembly, what you should think, oh, well done, you're relaxing, you're kind of having a good time. So don't get upset if somebody starts to snore. Rather have a sense of mudita, of sympathetic joy, with somebody who's really relaxing here. It's actually quite good, right? Be able in an assembly like this to be so at ease, so relaxed, and not care what anybody thinks about you, that you can snore away. It means that you are kind of having the right attitude there. So this often happens, and if it does happen, the worst thing you can do is to fight it. So allow it to kind of happen. Be tired, it's okay. Third thing that often happens is that you feel restless, right? When the mind becomes, finally everything kind of becomes quite at ease, you feel restless, you don't really know what to do at that point. So these are the three most kind of common things: thinking, tiredness, and restlessness. The first thing to understand about all of these things is not to fight these kind of things. Don't fight the thinking mind. Don't fight the tiredness. Don't fight the restlessness. Don't think that you're going to be able to sort these things out and kind of by using willpower. Because usually, if you use willpower to sort these things out, what you find, it often becomes worse. Right? If you are tired already, why is it that you are tired? The reason is because you've been using your mind too much usually. Why are you restless? Restlessness also comes from this, often the mind has been kind of going on, and the continuation of that going on, the movement in the mind, is often the cause for the restlessness. So don't fight these things. This is number one. Very often the reason why we fight these things is because we have a sense of aversion, right? I shouldn't be fantasizing about these things. I shouldn't be angry with this person. I shouldn't be tired. I'm supposed to be on retreat. And because we have a sense of aversion, because we have been told the five hindrances are bad, they are mara, they are evil, I have to get rid of them. Because we think like that, we tend to try to control her. But if you try to control these things, if you are upset with them, there is no way that you're going to be able to learn how to overcome these things. To be able to learn how to overcome these problems in meditation practice, what you have to do? You have to have a very cool attitude. You have to sit back. You have to observe what is going on. You have to see what's happening in a cool way. If you try to force it out, you can't do that. And by observing these things in a cool way and understanding why the problem is there and actually feeling it as a problem, then very often, not always, but sometimes, you will find a way out. You will understand why this thing is happening, why it is bothering you, and you will be able to take a different track as a consequence of that. Sometimes you don't see a solution, but even if you don't see a solution, the best thing to do is often still just to relax and be with it. Because when you relax and you're with it, eventually it will fade away on its own. There's nothing much you can do anyway. Instead of feeding it with aversion, feeding it with the willpower of the mind, allow it to be here, and it tends to fade away by itself over time. But of course, on a retreat like this, it will be a little bit of a roller coaster, right? One day you are kind of in the dumps, everything is really bad. The next day, yeah, now I understand how meditation works, right? As soon as you think you understand how meditation works, things start to go downhill again. You know what I mean? It's very strange how that is, right? You think, oh, now I have understood it. But of course, the reality is you haven't really understood it. It's just a temporary thing. And as soon as you think that you are in charge, because of that thought, things start to go down again. And then you find yourself in the bottom, in the dumps again. And then it starts, and as soon as you kind of give up on trying to control things, things start to go up again. It's a bit of a roller coaster like that. And that is what's going to happen during these 9 days. It happens almost to everybody here. And that's okay. So you enjoy the good times without attaching too much, and you allow the more difficult times to be, and you try to see them for what they are. So why is it that the mind goes into these states that are fantasizing and being tired and being restless and all these kind of things? What is going on there? What is going on is that when the body kind of calms down, when you feel relaxed, it's almost as if there is a kind of emptiness there. There is nothing anymore, right? It's as if there is no problems, there's nothing to be done. It means that, what now? And the mind kind of blanks out. The mind doesn't have anything to do, doesn't know what to do. So the mind starts to create things for you. And so these are just creations that the mind does to make you feel good, to make you feel happy in the present moment, to fill that sense of emptiness, that gap inside of you which needs to be filled up. Right? So for that reason, you start to fantasize. To get away from the suffering of the emptiness, you get tired, you have stop and torpor, and you fall asleep, or you are just restless. So the trick, the way, the way to get around this, to actually solve this problem of having the sense of emptiness inside, is to fill it up with something else. And that something else that you have to fill it up with is what you might call the spiritual, the Buddhist, the Dhammic kind of happiness. This is how you fill these things up. Right? And when you look at the Buddhist path, one of the things that you will see, and I will have a look at that tomorrow morning as well in the first sutta we're going to have a look at. When you look at the Buddhist path, it almost always starts off with a generation of happiness, gladness, and joy in the meditation practice. That is how the meditation starts off. And this is really the essence in many ways of meditation, this thing that I sometimes call right attitude, having the right attitude. And when you have the right attitude and you're able to tap into that spiritual happiness, the happiness that comes from living a good life, from having a good heart, from thinking about the world, thinking about people in the right way, right? That happiness, that joy is where we're trying to head. And when you go towards that, you start to feel that emptiness inside, that the mind is seeking to escape from by fantasizing, by being tired or whatever, that emptiness starts to disappear, and you're filled up by something much more profound, much more meaningful, which is this happiness that comes from the practice of the teachings of the Buddha, or any kind of spiritual practice which is worthy of its name. And then you start to fill up inside, and then meditation starts to work. Then it's easy to stay in the present moment because you have something that is easy to focus on, easy to be with. If the present moment is beautiful, it is very easy to stay right here and not go anywhere else. So this is what we have to do. And to enable you to actually find that happiness, the Buddha talks about certain ways of doing that in the suttas. And these things are often called like contemplations that we do. Contemplations on one's virtuous behavior, contemplation on the generosity, contemplation on the triple gem, and these sort of things. To a large extent, these contemplations can be summarized also through precepts that we're keeping here. So I guess Bianca explained the 8 precepts to you, right, beforehand? Yeah? Is that right? Did you do that? Yeah? No? Don't think so. Okay, really? Okay. Okay, that's kind of core. Okay, so this is the chance then for me to do that. So Usually these retreats are eight precept retreats. Does anybody who doesn't know anything about the eight precepts? Anybody has never heard of the eight precepts before? Okay, everyone here is really good, really clued in. That's great. That's wonderful. That's always a good sign. So, eight precepts, right? Now, and these precepts actually give you a very good idea of the kind of attitude that will actually get you into meditation properly here. So the first one is not to kill any living beings, right? And of course, the idea here is not just to avoid killing, but the idea here is to do the opposite, is to have compassion, to have kindness, to have a good heart, to kind of want to almost like help life, right? To support people, to support animals, to support whatever it is. This is the idea here. And of course, if you have that feeling inside of you that you want to be kind to others, you want to have compassion, you want to help other people, you want to help animals, whatever it is, that feeling inside is a very positive feeling, a very uplifting feeling. What we call metta. Metta means like loving kindness or friendliness towards other beings. And if you have that inside of you, it is a natural happiness that comes with that. So this is, of course, you can only do so much while you're here on this retreat because you're bringing your mind from the world with you. But this shows you the link between our ordinary lives and the meditation retreats. The more we practice these things in our ordinary life, we bring that in to the meditation retreat, right? You bring that, well, I've done so many good things, right? And then when you sit down, you automatically feel good about yourself because you have been doing the right things. But also, please remember, also do this while you are here on this meditation retreat. Be kind to the people around you. Have a sense of compassion. Don't allow yourself to be irritated by the small little things. You live quite close together, right? When we live close together like that, it's very easy to get on each other's nerves a little bit, right? Somebody closes the door a little bit forcefully or somebody kind of does whatever. And it's very easy to kind of get a little bit upset because of that. So please try to avoid that, because if you do that, you're going to destroy your own practice. You're going to destroy, make your own retreat miserable as a consequence if you do that. And the way to overcome that is just to remember. It's very simple. Just to remember that the people you are with here on this meditation retreat are basically wonderful people. They're people who are willing to keep these eight precepts. You don't even know what they are yet, but anyway. So but they're willing to do all these nice things, right? And they are coming here to spend 8-9 days doing nothing but meditation practice. How many people like this are there around, right? There are lots of good people in the world, but this is like the cream of the cream. Here you're finding the very best. So remember that the people here are these little things that you see in daily life. It's nothing. It doesn't matter. It's insignificant. The big picture is so beautiful. The big picture is so powerful. And when you remember that, you can let go of all those little niggly things which don't actually matter very much. And then you can instead feel, wow, what a wonderful thing it is to be part of a group like this, of people who are practicing kindness and goodness in the world, people who are generous, people who are compassionate, people who want to be peaceful, people who want to help themselves and also help others. Right? How wonderful it is to be part of a group like this. And that is the kind of attitude, if that is deeply felt inside of you, it's the kind of attitude that will get you into deep meditation practice. So this is the first precept. Second one is the one about not stealing, right? So the opposite of not stealing is to be generous. So be generous. It's very similar to the first one in many ways. We are generous towards others, kind to others. And if you can kind of establish yourself in that feeling, all you need sometimes is that feeling inside of you that you want to be generous. Right, you get this feeling of generosity inside of you. You just want to give to everybody here. And that feeling, when you want to give out to others, and often you can establish that by thinking about times in the past when you were generous, times in the past when you were kind to others. And just that feeling is enough, again, it's the right attitude that will move you towards meditation. Because it's a very positive, it's a very uplifting attitude when you have that. Then we have the next one, which is the brahmacharya, so it means no sexual activity. And then there is, this one goes together with some of the other precepts. There's the one about sleeping on a fairly simple bed. So the beds you have here are good enough. Then there is the one about not eating in the afternoon, right? There's one about not really using any adornments and makeup and that kind of stuff, and just wearing simple clothes, just being oneself, being ordinary. And all of these things, the purpose of these things is not to torture anybody. It's not to kind of deprive ourselves of the happiness, of the pleasures of life. The purpose of all these precepts, again, is to have enough. You have enough to be comfortable, to be at ease. So please make sure you eat enough, you sleep enough, that you're comfortable. You have enough for that. But you don't have so much that you indulge in the senses. This is the difference between a retreat center and living an ordinary life. In ordinary life, we like to indulge sometimes, right? And that's fine. Sometimes we can indulge a little bit. But the point here is to avoid the indulging, to find that balance, that evenness, where you have enough, you're comfortable, but you don't indulge. And the purpose of that is to shift your mind, to search for happiness, to look for the happiness somewhere else. Now you want to look for the spiritual happiness rather than the worldly happiness. So you're kind of shifting your perspective, looking in a different direction. This is the purpose of this. Then we have the precepts about not lying, which is the Musavada precept. This is supposed to be a silent retreat, so it's very hard to lie on a silent retreat, so that one should be pretty safe. So we can probably bypass that one. Then we have the one about not drinking alcohol and taking non-medicinal drugs. So hopefully you can avoid that one as well. That would be very useful. Remember, the purpose here is to be mindful, right? Usually if you take alcohol or drugs, usually it destroys your mindfulness. So you're not going to be very useful for you. And that is about it. I think I have pretty much covered all of those precepts, pretty much there. So those are the 8 precepts for you. And they give you some idea of the kind of attitude that we're trying to develop here. And if you get that attitude right a little bit, you will find it is a very powerful boost for your meditation. Okay, I better perhaps stop there. I'm going to, many of these things I have said tonight, I'm going to reinforce during the guided meditation. There will be one guided meditation every day, so I will reinforce them just to remind you of the basic things. Very often, it's just the basic things that you need. Once you have the basic things in place, and though they work, then the meditation tends to take off on its own. Once you get to the breath, right, and everything is peaceful and nice, the meditation usually goes by itself, and it's fairly straightforward from that point of view. It's getting the basics right that is the most important thing here. So enjoy this retreat center. It is a marvelous retreat center that we have here in Jhana Grove. It's very difficult to find anything quite like this almost anywhere else in the world. You travel around and people everywhere, you know, you have to put up with very simple facilities often compared to what we have here. So enjoy these facilities. Make good use of them. Have a walk in the bush if you like, if you feel a bit restless or whatever. Go and make yourself a cup of tea if you have to. Lie down if you want to lie down and have an extra snooze, especially on the first couple of days, so we can really relax and really get the ordinary days and the stress, whatever you have, out of the system. So make sure that you use these facilities well. They are here for us to make use of. And then you will be heading in the right way. And then remember the basic principles. You're supposed to enjoy this retreat, right? So make sure you enjoy yourself. Have a good time. I will also try to enjoy myself. I try to set a good example. And try not to be too miserable and grumpy sitting up here. Because then otherwise you might be miserable and grumpy as well. Because what's the point of living this life? What's the point of doing this Buddhist practice unless it gives us a degree of happiness and enjoyment? That basic principle should take you a long way here. Okay, so now let's do some meditation together. Let's get started on the retreat. We'll do about half an hour or so. Let's see what happens.